We promise.
It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Meaningful reforms, not higher taxes.
Deflategate update.
Reports say 11 of 12 Patriot footballs were underinflated.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, President Obama took his middle-class message to Congress and the American people.
The President of the United States.
The President's State of the Union speech last night set a course for his final 2 years in office, and he now has to work with a Republican-controlled Congress and with an economy he says has healed.
The shadow of crisis has passed, and the State of the Union is strong.
CBS's Pam Coulter begins our team coverage.
Showing he will not go gentle into his last 2 years in office, President Obama challenged the GOP-led Congress to support free community college.
Lower the cost of community college to zero.
Paid sick leave and higher taxes on the wealthy.
Middle-class economics works. Expanding opportunity works.
And he warned against trying to chip away at his health care law, Wall Street reform, or immigration changes.
If a bill comes to my desk that tries to do any of these things, I will veto it. It will have earned my veto.
Acknowledging their deep differences, Mr. Obama urged the GOP to work with him in areas where they do agree.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The official Republican Party response by Iowa's new Senator Joni Ernst promised serious work by Congress
to cut wasteful spending and balance the budget.
Bipartisan where possible, but
we'll also keep fighting to repeal and replace a health care law that's hurt so many hardworking families.
Senator Ernst said Republicans reject the tax increases Mr. Obama proposes and will instead focus on cutting wasteful spending.
And Mr. Obama touts his State of the Union themes in a trip today to Boise, Idaho. Now to Boston, where the cardiac surgeon shot yesterday at Brigham and Women's Hospital died late last night. Police Commissioner William Evans says the gunman took his own life.
He was targeted. Something in the past upset this guy to come in looking for this particular doctor.
It's now believed Dr. Michael Davidson may have treated gunman Stephen Passeri's mother, who died last November. Overseas, in Israel, 9 people were wounded in a knife attack during the morning rush.
Paramedics arrived at a bloody scene on a Tel Aviv bus where a Palestinian went on a stabbing rampage, slashing the driver and passengers. Police say officers chased the assailant, who was shot and arrested.
Jerusalem correspondent Robert Berger. Armed Shiite opponents are stepping up the pressure on Yemen's embattled government. Let's go live to the foreign desk and CBS's Vicky Barker.
The Iranian-backed rebels already hold much of the capital, Sana'a, and now say they have pinned the pro-American president down in his own residence. The fear that al-Qaeda will seize the opportunity to recapture territory it lost following a U.S.-backed government military campaign.
As these two groups fight, al-Qaeda is going to have the space to grow and to pose threats.
CBS News senior security contributor Michael Morrell, al-Qaeda in the Yemen remains Osama bin Laden's deadliest offspring. The fall of Yemen's government could decimate U.S. attempts to combat the group. Steve?
In France, 4 men are facing charges for their alleged links to a gunman behind 2 of the attacks that rocked Paris. Here's CBS's Elaine Cobb.
Paris police say 2 were close friends of Amedy Coulibaly, who killed 4 hostages and a policewoman in 2 separate attacks. One of the 4 owned a car used by Coulibaly. His fingerprint was found inside. Another was identified from DNA found on a glove and on weapons found in Coulibaly's hideout in the Parisian suburbs. Police say the other 2 provided minor logistical backup and hadn't been told of the attack plans. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
It's 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, UNC has submitted a response to its regional accrediting body following concerns raised during the independent investigation into academic irregularities at the university. Survival rates for those infected with HIV here in the South are the lowest across the nation. And a new report shows low-income workers here in North Carolina are bearing a disproportionately high tax burden compared to top wage earners. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. and WCHL Championship Sports this morning. Big basketball game tonight. The UNC men's basketball team aims for its fourth ACC win in a row, but they have to go on the road to get it against the Wake Forest Demon Deacons in Winston-Salem. And there's been a lot of controversy lately about the hiring of a certain defensive football coach.
The Tar Heels hired Gene Chizik because they could afford him.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
42 degrees in Chapel Hill, a little bit on the chilly side this morning compared to yesterday, and we won't get as warm today. Yesterday we reached all the way up to 71 degrees. Today's high in the upper 50s. We'll have partly sunny skies. Slight chance of a little sprinkling activity. 806 WCHL. UNC has submitted a response to its regional accrediting body following the concerns raised during the independent investigation into academic irregularities at the university. Dr. Belle Whelan is president of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges.
They submitted the report to us. We're in the process of reviewing it to make sure that we don't need any additional information, and we will forward it to the board for its review at its June meeting.
Dr. Whelan says that a decision will be made public as that board meeting wraps up.
They'll make some kind of decision, whether it's to defer it, whether it's to ask for additional information, whether it's to put them on warning or probation or drop them from membership. But there will be some action taken on it.
That board meeting to be held June 8th through 11th. SACS, otherwise known as SACS, requested information from UNC in November regarding compliance with various accreditation standards. And the university submitted its report detailing how it was dealing with the issues that were raised in the Weinstein report that was issued back on January 12th. UNC is a founding member of SACS and completed a review with the organization in June of last year before new information came to light during the independent investigation. You can view the 200-plus page report submitted by the University of North Carolina through a link at our website, chapelboro.com. There's been a lot of conversation lately about development in Carrboro, one in particular. Two former Carrboro mayors weighed in last night, urging the Board of Aldermen to support a proposal to build a four-story building downtown for the Arts Center and Kid Zoo in a deal that would include a second hotel at 300 East Main Street. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton, now the Orange County Register of Deeds, said he had been watching the public hearing at home before rushing over to Town Hall to speak just before the end of tonight's public hearing.
I've heard a lot of great questions raised tonight about this project, and I think there are questions that the folks who are proponents of the project need to address, but I also think that this is a really significant opportunity for downtown Carrboro, and that opportunities like this, while they will come again, there will be another time down the road when we'll have an opportunity to consider a major new art center, that they don't come very often.
The partnership of nonprofits, the Art Center, and Kid Zoo Children's Museum is asking the town to construct a four-story, 55,000-square-foot arts and innovation center at the corner of Main and Roberson Streets on a former parking lot across from the Armadillo Grill. The estimated cost of the project is $13 million. Here's architect Phil Shostak, who serves on the board of the Carrboro Art Center.
We want to raise $7.5 million and gift it to the town in order to build this building. And we would do that before anything else happens, before the town spends any money. And then we were asking the town and other public entities that may be involved to contribute the other $7.5 million over the next 25 years.
In return for Main Street Properties donating the land to the town, the Art Center would swap its building at 300 East Main, allowing the Hampton Inn to build a second hotel there. The proposal has stirred a lot of public interest, so much so that people were spilling out into the hallway in the media room of Town Hall on Tuesday night. 60 people signed up to speak, and many of those didn't get a chance. Some speakers were enthusiastic about the plan. Here's Betsy Bertram, general manager of Townsend Bertram & Company Adventure Outfitters.
I can't think of anything better for Carrboro's future. As a young person living in Carrboro, I often drive over to Durham for shows, for classes, for cultural opportunities, and I want to be able to stay right here in Carrboro.
Others were opposed outright. They said that the town should make affordable housing or infrastructure issues a higher priority. Some said the project would change the very nature of Carrboro that made them want to settle there in the first place. Several speakers said they wanted the proposed 16-month deadline for a decision extended for the sake of further study. Here's Brad Bonneville, owner of Bonneville Electric.
I think that we need to proceed with caution. This is a risky venture.
Part of the risk that made some speakers uneasy was the promise of tax revenue generated by the new hotel to help fund the center, thus eliminating the need for any new burden to Carrboro taxpayers. And there were a lot of concerns expressed about parking. Nathan Million, manager of Carmel Mall, is no stranger to controversy regarding the subject of Carrboro parking. He offered this opinion on Tuesday night.
Any consideration of this project should be put on hold until after the completion of the proposed parking study.
Former Carrboro Mayor Ellie Kinnaird, who more recently retired from her subsequent job as a state senator, shot down parking concerns in her full-throated endorsement of the project. She said there's plenty of parking in the parking garage at Hampton Inn and that the new hotel will provide even more. She also had an answer for those who questioned the occupancy rate of the existing hotel in the context of whether the town could support another one.
The Hampton Inn is 95% occupancy, and whenever I go in there, I ask them how they're doing, and they are flourishing.
There was some strong support expressed for Frank Heath, owner of the legendary music club, The Cat's Cradle, a fixture at 300 East Main for several years. Here's Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorson, a former Carrboro alderperson.
The Cat's Cradle, as you know, has brought in the time it's been in Carrboro, hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax revenue. It has also made an immeasurable impact on other businesses in the community. Ask any restaurant or bar owner about what happens to their revenues when there's a good show at the Cradle. The Cradle has become, through its national reputation, as I said, identified as the soul of Carrboro.
Some speakers said they wanted assurances that the club would be protected from getting squeezed out. Heath was there for part of the meeting but didn't sign up to speak. Alderperson Randy Haven O'Donnell says she hopes that Heath shares his views on the CAIC proposal when the hearing is continued on February 3rd. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There's a new report just out showing low-income workers here in North Carolina are bearing a disproportionately high tax burden compared to those who are top-wage earners. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
The poorest 20% of North Carolina earners pay more than 40% more in taxes as a share of their income than the richest 1%. That's according to the recent Who Pays study released by the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy and the Budget and Tax Center, a project of the North Carolina Justice Center. The study finds that North Carolinians earning less than $18,000 a year pay 9.2% of their income in taxes, compared to 5.3% for those earning more than $376,000 a year. ITEP ranks North Carolina as the 31st most unfair state for tax policy. Cedric Johnson, a public policy analyst with the Budget and Tax Center, told WCHL that tax policies in North Carolina are basically upside down. That's because North Carolina relies a lot on sales tax to raise revenue, and a flat personal income tax isn't levied on the basis of the ability to pay.
When looking at that 31st ranking, one could rest on their laurels and say, yeah, well, we're towards the middle. But when you look at how that actually plays out into the lives and the pocketbooks of North Carolinians, you know, one has to be concerned with the reality that we have a tax system here in the state that's asking those with the least to contribute a larger share of their income towards public investments that we all depend on and value here in the state.
Representative Verla Insko, a Democrat who represents the 56th District in the North Carolina General Assembly, said that a lot of top earners may not even be aware of this huge disparity, since they already do pay a lot in taxes as top earners.
Poor people are paying for our police and for our inspection of our restaurants and all kinds of things that are part of just ordinary government. We have to have that conversation at some point about what's a fair way to support essential government services.
ITEP predicts that if North Carolina and many other states continue down this road, it will make it harder and harder to raise revenues. The study recommends relief for lower income taxpayers, such as the Earned Income Tax Credit, Renter's Credit, and a Child Tax Credit. You can read more about this on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A judge overseeing a 20-year-old lawsuit wants to know if North Carolina officials are trying to define their way out of their duty to educate all of the state's children. Superior Court Judge Howard Manning Jr. scheduled a two-day hearing beginning today. Manning is looking into whether state education officials are obeying their constitutional obligation to give every North Carolina child the opportunity to have a sound basic education. Manning wants the state to explain a decision last March by the State Board of Education to change the definition definition of who is learning at grade level. Manning says he thinks the change is waters down requirements and buries it in academic doublespeak. Manning was selected by the state Supreme Court to oversee compliance with this decision. Sad news to report this morning. Chapel Hill business legend Milton Julian passed away on Saturday, January 17th. This past Saturday, he was 96 years old. Julian graduated from Carolina back in 1941 and served in World War II. Came back to Chapel Hill and opened up Milton's Clothing Cupboard on East Franklin Street in 1948. It's one of several stores operated by the famous Julian family. Milton's eventually expanded to six locations across the southeast. In 2013, Milton Julian was named a town treasurer by the Chapel Hill Historical Society. Milton Julian is survived by six of his seven children, as well as 10 grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. Our condolences to the friends and family of Milton Julian. Again, he passed away this past Saturday at the age of 96. WCHL News Time, 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Go online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com for good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too. And now, here is Nikki Morse with a look at your morning traffic.
Thanks, Ron. Looking pretty good now. It's starting to ease up just a little bit, but we're still seeing some crowded conditions. Northbound on Fordham Boulevard as you approach Manning Drive, heading to 54. 40 eastbound, also a little slow. You'll see some brake lights between 54 and Fayetteville Road, and northbound Durham Freeway slow in segments between Alexander Drive and Austin Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Been a pretty good morning so far, hasn't it?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to what you're saying, too. And things are moving along pretty well.
Wow, it's the first time for everything, huh?
I'll tell you what, at the end of the day yesterday, I sympathize with everybody who has to travel at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Over to Raleigh or getting anywhere around the Research Triangle Park or the airport. I mean,
did you actually go out?
I actually went yesterday to Raleigh, and it took me forever to get
wow.
there. I'm still on the road on the way to Raleigh right now. It's just incredibly slow-moving traffic. Just frustrating.
That's why you stick to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, exactly. I sympathize with the people who have to go through all that every day. And, you know, some of that happens in the morning, too, of course.
Absolutely.
So, thanks so much. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. It is 43 degrees right now. Partly sunny, chance of light rain this morning, but I just looked outside and it is just really sunny out there. Sun beaming through the windows in the lobby out there. It just looks like a beginning of a really nice day. Our high today in the upper 50s. Not as warm as yesterday, but still pretty good weather. Tonight we're looking at partly cloudy skies with a low around 35. And then tomorrow partly sunny with a high of about 50.
This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 8:18. Survival rates for those infected with HIV in the South are the lowest in the country. WCHL's Blake Hodge has the details of this new study.
Nine southern states, including North Carolina, are hit disproportionately hard by HIV and AIDS, according to new research out of Duke University. The study found that 15% of those diagnosed with HIV and 27% of those diagnosed with AIDS had died within 5 years of their diagnosis, based on numbers from 2003 and 2004. Lee Storrow is the executive director of the North Carolina AIDS Action Network, and he says that the disease has grown beyond its initial profile of mainly affecting young to middle-aged white gay men.
Unfortunately, we have really seen this disease evolve over the last 20 years and are seeing a new focus and new outbreaks amongst poor residents of this country and a concentration of new epidemics in the South.
Storrow adds that many factors play into the increased HIV rates and the lower survival rate associated with the disease, particularly in our region.
When you look at poverty rates in the Deep South, when you look at lower levels of education, and you look at the social stigma associated with being gay and having HIV, I think all of those are factors that are contributing to increased rates of HIV in the South and increased death rates.
Storrow says that the stigma associated with the disease is a major obstacle in battling its treatment.
For folks who are not identified as gay or aren't men who are sleeping with men, there's definitely a stigma
stigma sometimes in certain communities associated with being HIV positive, because there's an assumption that that means that you're gay.
He says that while sexual contact is the main form of transmission, the disease can also be passed by sharing needles, among other avenues. Unfortunately, Storo says that our social environment can be deadly for those who are HIV positive.
That stigma is something that means that people don't share their medical conditions, they don't receive testing, and there's a number of people who have received testing and might know that they're HIV positive, but aren't actually in care to receive the treatment that they need.
He adds that battling the stigma is difficult on several layers, including not being able to legislate against a social stigma as you can with other more overt obstacles. Of what can be controlled, access is a major theme for treatment, according to Storo.
One thing we know is that if you have access to housing, to stable, consistent, safe housing, your ability to access medical care significantly increases.
And access to steady, affordable medical care can then translate to more effective treatment of the disease. Storo says that the biggest way state legislators can help in the fight against HIV is by expanding Medicaid to assist those in need of medical attention. He adds that it will take teamwork between lawmakers, everyone in our community, and beyond to fight back against HIV and AIDS. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
821 WCHL Championship Sports now. The number 15-ranked North Carolina men's basketball team is 14-4 on the season, 4-1 in conference play. Tar Heels have won 3 in a row in the ACC. They hope to make it 4 tonight on the road. They will take on Wake Forest in Winston-Salem. WCHL's Matt Oakes has our preview.
The Tar Heel Road Warriors will be searching for a 3-0 start in ACC enemy territory for the first time since the 2007-2008 season. That year, Carolina burst out to an 8-0 league road record. UNC head coach Roy Williams' teams have historically been strong in hostile environments, sporting a 60-32 ACC road record in 12 seasons under the Hall of Famer. But for the Carolina skipper, there's a lot to work on with this year's squad. For starters, Coach Williams says the Tar Heels need to play more consistent defensively and make better use of their size advantage to get to the foul line with physical play in the paint.
We've got to get a heck of a lot better on the defensive end of the floor. We knew they were going to shoot a lot of threes. They shoot 29, but we shoot 16, shoot 13 in the first half. If you look at the stat sheet in the first half, we shoot 13 threes. And we could shoot 0 free throws, and that's not the way a North Carolina team is supposed to play.
In an encouraging sign for Carolina, the freshmen appear to be making strides. Freshman Justin Jackson led UNC in scoring with 16 points last time out, but Jackson says the Tar Heels need to do a better job dictating the pace, which in signature Roy Williams style means turning the game into a track meet.
We love to run. We have so many athletic guys that can get out on wings and run. And whenever we have to just score right in the half court and get slowed down, it definitely can kind of get to you.
UNC will need to keep an eye on Wake Forest junior big man Devin Thomas, who's averaging 12.9 points and 9.7 rebounds per game. The battle on the board should be something to watch for in this contest. The Deacons can hold their own in the rebounding department, ranking 15th in the nation, while the Tar Heels check in at number 2 with 44.3 rebounds per contest. But the team's energy level is what sophomore forward Isaiah Hicks is choosing to focus on, if nothing else, because the coaching staff gets pretty angry with any sort of lethargy.
It took us a while to get into it. I know that's what really pisses the coaches off. We struggled with last year, coming out with energies, like playing from the beginning. That's something that we have to do every game, no matter what.
The Deacs should be rested and raring to go with over a week of practice time since their last call to action, a heartbreaking overtime loss at Syracuse. On the other hand, the Tar Heels should be motivated to produce a much cleaner performance following a sloppy turnover-filled battle with Virginia Tech that had Coach Williams none too pleased.
I don't think we're a stupid team, but every team plays stupid sometimes.
UNC leads the all-time series with Wake Forest 156-66, but the Demon Deacons surprised the Tar Heels just last year with a 73-67 victory in the comfy confines of Joel Coliseum, always a tricky place to play. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Love that quote, Roy says, I don't think we're a stupid team, but every team plays stupid now and then.
You know, it's 824 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, and Steve Kirshner, UNC Athletics, joins us now. And Steve, I know that you've been around long enough to know that anytime you play Wake Forest, it's a good idea to bring your A game because you know they probably will.
Well, especially there, and especially when North Carolina shows up to play them. You know, they can't go by records. You know, they're 1-4 in the ACC, but they've had some close losses. You know, 8 to Duke, 9 to Louisville. Those were both in Winston-Salem. They had 8 days off. Their last game, they had a 3-point loss in overtime at Syracuse. So we went to Syracuse last year and I think scored 45 points. So it's not the easiest place to play. And I think people look on paper and see, well, you know, North Carolina's 14-4, they're 4-1 in the league, and you know that should be a win for North Carolina. But they've got a couple of veteran players, especially Miller, McIntyre, and Thomas, who made life miserable for us last year over there. So we've got to play better than we did Sunday night, that's for sure.
Steve, the Tar Heels are on a bit of a roll here, winning 3 straight ACC games. Of course, they hope to make it 4 tonight in Winston-Salem. Never easy to play there, as you said. How would you assess the Tar Heels' progress at this point in the season compared to where you thought they might be?
Well, I think we lost some games that people, you know, on paper probably thought we were going to win. Butler and Iowa in particular, and maybe even Notre Dame because it was at home, but you know, people forget those are good teams too, and there were things that we didn't do well in particular in those games. You know, Butler and Iowa, it was we didn't rebound the ball, especially defensively. Notre Dame, we just didn't shoot as well as they did. So I think record-wise, we're probably about where I thought we might be. It's nice that we've gotten off to a good start in the league, but we've got to keep that going. And again, you know, we played well enough to win against Virginia Tech, but we didn't play well. So I think tonight we want to play well and win.
Steve, I know that you are familiar with the Danny Manning story, new coach at Wake Forest and everything. Have you had the opportunity to talk with him since he's been here in the league?
No, I haven't. But, you know, Danny Manning, just his background, being a phenomenal college player and an NBA player for a long time. And he's obviously been training as an assistant coach at Kansas and then the head coach at Tulsa. So, you know, Danny Manning brings a lot of pedigree to that job, and it's the kind of position where when you show up as a Danny Manning, you know, kids, you know, they're going to buy in right away. They're going to listen right away. His background makes it such that the kids are going to pay attention maybe a little bit better than they did a year ago. Maybe do a little bit, some of the smaller details a little bit better because, it's a Danny Manning telling you this, and it worked for Danny. He's the National Player of the Year. He led a good but not a great Kansas team to a national championship his senior year. So when he tells you to do something, he's lived it. He's done it. So sometimes that buy-in comes a little bit easier when you have a person like a Danny Manning become your head coach.
No question. Steve, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll be looking for you tonight.
All right, Ron. Take care.
All right, Steve Kirshner, and our coverage of that game tonight starts with the UNC Healthcare Countdown to Tip-Off, presented by Stanley Martin Homes. Aaron Keck will be your host tonight, right here on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels hired Gene Chizik because they could afford him. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Carolina faced a bit of a dilemma in trying to replace Vic Koning as defensive coordinator on Larry Fedora's staff. Last season, during which UNC had one of the worst defenses in college football, ended on 2 sour notes and losses to NC State and Rutgers in the Quick Lane Bowl. The fan base was depressed and Fedora had to make a change. It was no surprise when Koning was let go. But who would replace him and try to help a defense, which frankly couldn't have been much worse, get better in 2015? Fedora not only needed a proven defensive coordinator, he needed something to infuse the alumni and fan base during the long offseason. Turns out the Tar Heels talked to as many as 7 candidates, from former Florida head coach Will Muschamp to Muschamp's D.C. with the Gators, D.J. Durkin, to Barry Odom of Memphis, to Dave Gibbs of Houston, to John Chavis of LSU, to Kevin Steele of Alabama. Those names may mean as little to you as they did me, but they all have one thing in common now. Each landed a defensive coordinator job from the SEC to the Big 12 to the Big 10 for a salary package of at least $1 million a year. Koenig's state salary at UNC was $258,000, so you know Carolina was not going to pay four times that amount to replace him. Chizik had a good reputation as a DC before it was overshadowed by his 2010 Auburn team winning the national championship and all kinds of allegations swirling around the Tigers program during his four-year tenure. UNC claimed it vetted, scrubbed, and investigated Chizik and found him clean of any NCAA infractions. So was Butch Davis, John Blake, and John Calipari, by the way. And the school wound up giving him a three-year contract for an annual salary package of $691,000, more than twice what Koenig made. Still, for a name like Chizik, who has indeed excited much of the fan base, that's a bargain price in today's world of college football. In the end, Carolina used the Butch Davis formula to find its man. Hire the biggest name among high-profile unemployed coaches and pay what it takes to get him back in the game. We'll see over the next 3 years whether that price was worth it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports brought to you by Stanley Martin Homes.
Stanley Martin Homes is proud to present their new model home open now in Winmore, a classic village of new homes just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Stanley Martin's three home designs, priced from the 370s, combine the best in energy efficiency and beautiful design, and Winmore is right on the UNC bus route. For kids, there's a pool and playground, and Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School are in the walk zone. There's conservation woodland space and walking and jogging trails for the whole family to enjoy. Come visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, or go to stanleymartin.com.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility, offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
Ready to take your small business to the next level? You are not alone. We are here to help. With the UPS Store Small Business Mailbox Services, your business will have a real street address, package acceptance from all carriers, and the convenience of 24-hour access and call-in mail check. To learn more about how we can help you, visit theupsstore.com or stop by the UPS stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Stephanie Miller, 9 to noon, here on 97.9 FM WCHL.
43 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 832 WCHL. Partly sunny today, chance of sprinkles this morning, but really a lot of sunshine out there already. And our high today in the upper 50s looks like the beginning of a nice day. Maybe not as warm as yesterday, but still a nice day nonetheless. This forecast brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. You know, you can fuel up each morning with Cruisers, Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. At Cruisers, good to go.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM WCHL.
8:33, we have 43 degrees in Chapel Hill. As I said a moment ago, just the beginning of a really nice day. Yesterday, we got all the way up to 71 degrees. Probably won't be quite that warm, but still a very good day to be outside today. There will be a UNC Board of Trustees meeting at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the Carolina Inn. There will be presentations from the Finance and Infrastructure Committee at 1 o'clock, followed by reports from several committees through the rest of the afternoon. A full board meeting will be on Thursday, beginning at 8 o'clock.
o'clock tomorrow morning. WCHL's Blake Hodge will be there today. He will also be there tomorrow, and we'll have full reports here on WCHL. A couple of former Carborough mayors spoke up last night urging the Board of Aldermen to support a proposal to build a four-story building downtown for the Arts Center and Kids Zoo, and a deal that would also include a second hotel at 300 East Main Street. It's generated a lot of controversy, a lot of conversation around Carborough. WCHL's Danny Hooley has a full report. You can get that on our website at chapelborough.com. The long session of the North Carolina legislature is preparing to begin work after being sworn in officially last week. Yesterday, WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Greg Meyer, who's beginning his first full term representing District 50, which includes much of Orange County, in the North Carolina House. Again, Greg Meyer speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck.
Tell us about your expectations for this coming session of the General Assembly. You're a Democrat. You're in very much the minority. What do you expect to see coming into the GA this year?
In the big picture, we're going to see more of the same. Mm-hmm. We know that there's not going to be a significant change in the direction of the legislature because there wasn't a significant change in the makeup of the legislature. The Senate has the upper hand right now with veteran leadership and established priorities. And Senator Phil Berger has said since the election, probably several times, he said that we take the election as a referendum on our job, and people think we're doing a good job, and we're going to keep going down that path.
So I'm looking at, and there's a whole bunch of different possible issues that the GA could be dealing with this year, and I just jotted down a list, or have this list in front of me: budget, Medicaid, teachers, schools, voting, redistricting, and I've got this list of the Civitas Association's top five legislative priorities, which are denying expansion of Medicaid, cutting the state budget by a little bit, school choice, fighting EPA rules, and additional voting restrictions, proof of citizenship to register. And there are others that we could list as possible priorities for the GA this year. What do you expect to be the first things that the GA deals with?
Well, there probably will be, given the history of the last few years, there probably be a couple things right out of the box that will be conservative initiatives that they'll try and just move quickly on. I don't know what those are going to be. But I would say that in the bigger picture, the beginning of the legislative session is going to be all about revenues. Mm-hmm. Everybody is talking about things that they want to spend money on, but after last year's budget closed out, we knew pretty quickly that we'd be in a hole coming into this year's budgets.
That is State Representative Greg Meyer, just a portion of his conversation with Aaron Keck yesterday. You can get the full interview on our website, chapelborough.com. And in news around town this morning, if you're interested in serving your community, if you want to help make a difference in your community, Orange County is always looking for residents to serve on a variety of advisory boards and committees. Right now, there are several spots open on the Orange County Housing Authority. Any Orange County resident can apply, especially Section 8 holders and people with expertise or special interest in real estate, development, affordable housing, municipal law, or banking. If you're interested, visit orangecountync.gov/boards. To apply, the Board of County Commissioners will make the official appointment from the list of applicants. And you can get all our news around town stories on our website. Once again, that is chapelborough.com. 837, 44 degrees and sunny in Chapel Hill.
Like most people in Chapel Hill, I love Spanky's. Sure, I love the historic setting, especially during the excitement of game days and the cool caricatures. But the thing that keeps me coming back time and again is the Spanky's Burger. When I start thinking about dinner at my desk at 2 p.m., I think about prime beef, ground fresh daily by Cliff's Meat Market in Carborough.
It's the favorites that keep people coming back to Spanky's. Simple, fresh, and reliable. What's your favorite? Visit SpankysRestaurant.com for menus and reservations.
Ready to take your small business to the next level? You are not alone. We are here to help. With the UPS Store Small Business Mailbox Services, your business will have a real street address, package acceptance from all carriers, and the convenience of 24-hour access and call-in mail check. To learn more about how we can help you, visit theupsstore.com or stop by the UPS stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road, and the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the slam dunk this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't foul out attempting the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get the jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carver. Call us at 919-942-3153 or online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels!
Are you a physician assistant in the area who is looking to join an academy of peers? If so, let the North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants work for you. Not only does being a part of the NCAPA connect you to fellow PAs in North Carolina, it also provides opportunities to have a voice on legislation that impacts your right to practice medicine. The academy offers multiple occasions to meet peers and holds two annual CME conferences. Let the NCAPA help you so you can continue helping others. Visit ncapa.org today.
Weaver Street Realty has been in business on Main Street in Carrboro for 30 years and supports numerous local causes and nonprofits. Three of Weaver Street's agents, Gary Phillips, Jay Parker, and Don Basnight, are auctioneers and conduct charity auctions throughout the year. They call them at the Cornucopia House, Carrboro Art Center, the North Carolina Botanical Garden, Compass Center for Women and Families, Lerner Jewish Center, Ducks Unlimited, and the Chapel Hill Garden Club, among others. Don, Jay, and Gary of Weaver Street Realty care about our community.
Every Tuesday morning, Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill partners with WCHL and local animal shelters to present WCHL's Adopt a Pet. Come to Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Metamont Village for premium pet food and treats and a grooming spa experience for your furry friend. This month, be sure to book a grooming appointment in January and you'll receive 10% off the session. You can also refer three friends to Wolfgang Grooming and your dog will get one free bath. Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill fully supports finding your next pet to pamper through Adopt a Pet on WCHL every Tuesday morning.
Thank you, Morris. Just so excited to bring you a look at traffic. We're going to do it a few minutes early this morning. And
I couldn't wait.
Traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. And Nikki, I'm just wondering what's happening out there.
Well, we're still seeing some slowdowns on northbound Fordham Boulevard as you head over to 54, especially around Manning Drive. So just be aware of that. You might hit a signal light delay there. 40 eastbound still hitting the brakes a little bit between 54 and the Durham Freeway in segments. And northbound Durham Freeway also slow in spots. Northbound, if you're traveling between Cornwallis Road and Austin Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
And it's been a pleasure this morning. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For all your diligent work. Just a myriad of things I could say right now.
It takes a lot to make you look good. I mean, it takes a lot to get the traffic done.
I know it's a hard job making me look good, that's for sure. But we'll listen for your news updates throughout the day at the bottom of the hour.
You got it.
All right. Nikki Morse with your morning traffic on WCHL. Brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, to be specific. It's one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, we'll turn to your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast. And this look at the forecast brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce. It's 44 degrees, beginning to warm up now. Got lots of sunshine out there this morning. High today in the upper 50s. Maybe not quite as warm as yesterday, but still pretty good day. Up close to 60. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 35. And then tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with a high around 50 degrees. The Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce invites you to help celebrate the successes of our local business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented by the Europa Center a week from tomorrow. That is Thursday, January 29th, 11 a.m. It happens at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. Good morning, 8:43. WCHL, I'm Ron Sutz.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Alan Colton. The reason I think President Obama did not go to Paris is because he knew he wouldn't stand out in a crowd of over 4 million French lemmings. So a week late and a dollar short, he sent his own French lemming, Secretary of State John Kerry, with none other than James Taylor in tow, to sing his 1971 hit, You've Got a Friend. The problem, I think, was that the French didn't seem to remember who JT was. But to be fair, in the last half century, the French have also forgotten Cat Stevens, Gordon Lightfoot, and John Denver. I mean, it's not really the fault of the French. Just because you're famous in Chapel Hill doesn't mean you're famous in Paris. But rock stars and folk singers can be arrogant, you know? You're so vain. I like that song. And there's a reason why we enjoyed watching John Belushi smash the guitar in Animal House. Folkies can be a little annoying sometimes. John Carey should probably have gotten the Rolling Stones to sing Gimme Shelter, a dark song full of dread and foreboding, or maybe even Bob Dylan singing All Along the Watchtower, another dark and apocalyptic song. Or maybe Creedence Clearwater Revival singing Bad Moon Rising, I See Trouble on the Way. I don't mind James Taylor. I think that Geese in Flight and Dogs That Bite, it's pure poetry. But You've Got a Friend? It doesn't rise to the occasion. The song sounds a bit like someone trying to help a girlfriend through drug rehab. It's not heavy enough for helping an entire nation deal with terrorism. And anyway, James Taylor used to campaign a lot for Obama. And what did Obama do? He let all the bad guys out of Gitmo. Well, when you've got a friend like that, who needs enemies? This is Alan Colton.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Well, thanks, Coach, and good luck tonight at Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. Maybe a tough game. We'll have it for you on WCHL. And we have a special guest in the studio today, Alan Friedman, and he is here to tell us all about a special concert that is coming up this weekend. And, Alan, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And tell us who's going to provide this great entertainment I keep hearing about.
This is a wonderful local chorus called the Women's Voices Chorus. We rehearse here in Chapel Hill. We have women that sing with us from Durham and Chapel Hill and Mebane and all over Orange and Durham counties. Wonderful group of women from about ages 22 to 80 that sing secular and sacred music. We have a concert this Sunday called Awakening, Songs of New Birth and Origins.
This is actually something that we all ought to know about it because it's your 21st season, I understand.
That's right.
And this is the first official performance of this season.
Yeah.
Tell us more about the concert and the kind of stuff you're going to do.
The concert is divided into two halves. The first half is Christmas music. We know we're a little bit past the season, but we have a lot of wonderful music to sing and share. We haven't done Christmas music in quite some time. And the second half of the concert is secular-based and talks about new beginnings and origins of social movements of the earth in terms of spring. And some of my favorite music from this concert has to do with the rise of the suffragette movement in the 19th and 20th century, as well as the social change movements of this century, the 21st century now, and the 20th century.
We have a lot of local talented musicians in this area, and I'm impressed when you said these women range in age from, what did you say, 18 to 80?
Yeah, just about 18 to 80. It's a great combination. We have folks who are students at UNC and Duke, all the way up to folks who were students, let's say, in the last century. And it's a wonderful combination because these women come from all walks of life. We have doctors and homemakers and lawyers and professors, and they come together each Monday to make beautiful music together. It's quite a special thing.
Tell everybody again where this is and how they can find out
Absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. There's a concert at 3 p.m. this Sunday at University United Methodist Church. That's right there on Franklin Street.
With that great big steeple there.
You got
it.
It
was recently renovated.
You got it. And for more information on tickets or what's being performed, you can go to Women's Voices chorus.org. That's all one word, womensvoiceschorus.org, no apostrophe in web addresses.
And how many women will be performing?
We'll have 68 women up there.
My goodness.
And one man who tries to keep in control.
Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
In a lot of ways. Alan, thank you very much for coming in today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
It's 848 at WCHL, and coming up next, you're going to hear from D.G. Martin.
Why pay for dental benefits if you're not going to use them? It's time to schedule now to get your maximum benefits met by year's end. The Kennedy Dental Group is one of the few practices in Chapel Hill that files all claims from their office at 1721 East Franklin Street. Consistently rated among the best practices in the Triangle, the Kennedy Dental Group continues to be on the cutting edge of family dentistry while emphasizing the utmost in customer care. Call for an appointment at 919-967-9291 or go to kennedydentalgroup.com.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Tar Heel fans, Cruisers Convenience Marketplace wants to give you two tickets and a VIP experience to the Carolina Duke game at the Smith Center on March 7th. One lucky winner will receive two tickets to the big game, a pregame reception, photos on the court, and more. To enter, sign up for or use the ExxonMobil Smart Card at any Cruisers location between now and February 24th. Details and more ways to enter at cruisers.net/Smith Center.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Fired with enthusiasm. Last week I was reminded of that quote, which is attributed to Clark Kerr, the legendary president of the multi-campus University of California. It's what he said when, shortly after Ronald Reagan's election as governor in 1966, University Regents ousted Kerr. He joked that he had left the university the same way he came in, fired with enthusiasm. All that is to remind us that Tom Ross is not the first state public university president to be forced out of office after a change in the state's political leadership. In a testament to Ross's patient, consistent consensus-building skills, the board that required his departure recognized his extraordinary talents and his service to them and the university, describing his service as with distinction and exemplary, and they went on and on. But many of us on the outside thought that this changeover would happen long before now. The board that hired Ross in 2010, almost all Democrats appointed by a Democratic General Assembly, had quickly changed to a board composed of almost all Republicans, appointed by and responsible to a Republican legislature. This change might have led to a quick and automatic exit for Ross back then, because he never hid his party loyalties. But Ross showed himself to be a super consensus builder, educator, listener, and learner, who helped the new board members achieve important objectives and address legislative concerns without unnecessarily damaging the core of the university's mission and strength. One example is the partnership that developed between Ross and Fred Eshelman, the successful and wealthy Wilmington businessman whose political philosophy is 180 degrees different from Ross's. But they shared a belief that only with positive direction and planning would the university continue to best serve the growing needs of the state. In their work together on strategic planning, they developed confidence with each other and a productive friendship that certainly contributed to Eshelman's recent commitment of $100 million additional dollars to the UNC Pharmacy School that bears his name. Well, Ross has great potential to follow other departing UNC presidents in continuing his high level of public service. So William Friday, of course, after leaving the university presidency, led the William R. Keenan Jr. Trust and the Keenan Funds. He co-chaired the Knight Commission and on of things that President Friday did. And Dick Spangler returned to Charlotte, resuming his role there as an important business leader and community leader, too. And Molly Broad became the first woman to serve, and she's still serving as president of the American Council on Education. And Erskine Bowles, of course, continued his advocacy for the kind of responsible government budgeting process that he helped develop during the Clinton administration. And Ross will follow in their footsteps. After one more year as president, devoting, quote, his full energy, intellect, and passion to fulfilling the duties and responsibilities of his office, Ross will undoubtedly be tapped for new and important service that will make his supporters even more proud, including, and watch out for this, the possibility of a run for statewide office. Still, we can forgive him if he is not today fired with enthusiasm for leaving the post he served so well. This is DG.
Hey, thank you, DG. 8:53. Oh, boy, don't get me started on that. It is 45 degrees in Chapel Hill, the beginning of a really nice day. Lots of sunshine out there already this morning. Look for a high today of about 58 degrees.
Are you a physician assistant in the area who is looking to join an academy of peers? If so, let the North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants work for you. Not only does being a part of the NCAPA connect you to fellow PAs in North Carolina, it also provides opportunities to have a voice on legislation that impacts your right to practice medicine. The Academy offers multiple occasions to meet peers and holds two annual CME conferences. Let the NCAPA help you so you can continue helping others. Visit ncapa.org today.
Do you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with children? If so, you can make a tremendous difference in the life of a child. For more information on becoming a mentor with Blue Ribbon, please contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170. Again, that's 919-918-2170. And you can make a difference in the life of a child. Thank you to WCHL for your support of Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate.
All right, time now for you to say the word. You remember Wayne's word of the day from last hour?
Say the word, you'll be free.
What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answers to those questions. Get in here before anyone else with the correct answers and get a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Wayne's word always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Reverend Robert Campbell is a community organizer, and during the recent MLK celebrations and events, he was focused on getting people out to get involved. Reverend Campbell says the focus ought to be on our youth.
We're focusing on how to prepare our youth for tomorrow's challenge. We have to help develop and guide our young people in the right direction, how to enter into the environment in which they are living and how diverse that environment is, but at the same time be aware of the difficulties of maneuvering in the environment.
Robert Campbell is today's WCHL hometown hero.
At the end of his great speech, I had a dream. He gave us direction. Go back into your community. Do something to help motivate your community to help bring forth changes. And that is what we're trying to instill into our young people and those who are concerned about social justice and equality for all people. Once we begin to understand the diversity in which we live in, how to communicate, we can begin to bring forth those changes. It's going to take all of us working together to make sure that we do that. Go back home and do something.
Robert Campbell was one of the organizers of all the Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebrations and events to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King, but he's also well known for his work with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. This year, Reverend Campbell continues to focus on positive change.
How do we sit down and have a conversation rather than just a dialogue? A dialogue is when people want to speak to you about how to help you, but have not walked in your shoes and understand what you're going through. A conversation explores both sides of that. So we're engaging in conversation. We are sitting down at the table to help bring forth the changes in the policies that we need, focusing on closing the education gap. We work with the school board and those who make policy for the school boards.
Robert Campbell has worked hard his whole life to bring about change.
We have to cross over those barriers because what affects one neighborhood affects another. And so we are coming out of our neighborhood. We are coming together in social events, having these conversations about how to bring forth these changes. And as we move forward, we'll find out that each one of these conversations bring forth an issue that can be resolved and how do we can go move forward and go into the chambers where the politicians make those decisions about how resources are used to make sure that these programs are implemented.
He's a true community organizer, and Robert Campbell is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations to Joanne Hunley of Chapel Hill. Called in with the word of the day from Wayne Pond. It's expatriate, E-X-P-A-T-R-I-A-T-E. It's a person who lives in a foreign country, a person who lives in a country where he was not originally a resident. And Joanne gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Wayne will have another word for you bright and early tomorrow at about 10 minutes until 8 o'clock.
At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruisers brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruisers sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Partly sunny today. Really nice day on the way. High today, upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 35. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 50 degrees. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bars, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. It's 9 o'clock.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's